Hello, thanks for downloading this podcast for taxation issue 4280, due online on the 10th of November and in print the following day. I'm online editor Daniel Selwood. This is the magazine's editor Mike Truman.
Hello there.
And first of all, we've got a little bit of news of a successful campaign, Mike.
Yes, we have. We have been arguing for ages that we get far too little notice of the budget. What we actually argued for was a fixed date in the year for both the budget and the pre-budget report. Now, the pre-budget report has disappeared, so it was only the budget we were looking for. Whilst we haven't got a fixed date, we have already been given the date of the budget for next year, which is March the 23rd, I think it is. We've got it on our website. We've even got a countdown clock at the moment running to the point at which George is going to stand up and deliver his speech. But that's great. I mean, people can actually plan in advance. So, you know, we won't get hotel rooms booked all over London for the all four Wednesdays in March as people try and work out what the heck they're going to do. So, no, it's really good news.
Great. Let's turn to the features in the magazine this coming week. First of all, we've got Simon Mackay, and I will just explain this story very briefly, simply because I don't want to spoil it for the listeners. What he is essentially talking about is an experience recently in which he believed he was being fished, with a PH, by fraudsters who were claiming to be from the revenue, asking for his banking details, his own company's banking details, and promising him a tax refund, which is pretty much the classic setup for any scam.
Yeah.
Involving the revenue. However, things weren't quite as they seemed, and he came out unharmed, but extremely bemused, and it's a fun and rather alarming read, and I think I'll leave it there.
I think anyone who knows Simon will know that the concept of Simon coming out harmed would be pretty difficult, but there we go.
Moving on to our more technical issues of the week, we have Mike Kerridge talking about the definition of statutory records in relation to Schedule 36 notices.
Yeah, this is interesting because what we had expected at some point was a statutory instrument. I mean, we got this expression statutory records. We've got some explanation of it, but there's also a power to further define it. And we haven't had the statutory instruments that we would have expected. What we have had, as Mike points out, is some guidance from the Revenue back in March about the statutory records for businesses. And what he says, and he says that he's got more or less acceptance from HMRC that this is right, is that because there was no guidance until then, any notices issued from 1st of April 2009 up to March 2010 for businesses were technically invalid, and for non-business customers, they asked customers, taxpayers, do beg your pardon, any notices issued to non-business taxpayers are still invalid because the revenue just haven't put forward the legislation that we would have expected.
That's a pretty big deal.
Well, yeah, I mean, what he's saying is that they're sending out the notices effectively asking for voluntary cooperation. Well, that's not really the way that it should be done. We did say all along that it was going to be very difficult to establish what the statutory records were, and it would seem that the revenue are having exactly the same problem.
I think that'll be the article this week that gets users commenting on the website, hopefully.
Yeah, really should come and ask, yeah.
We should get some spicy opinion. Mm. Next up, the changes in state pension age, Pete Arrowsmith considers them in relation to effects on national insurance contributions.
Yes, because of course the point is that national insurance contributions go on being paid until you reach state pension age. And Peter goes into all the specific details of that, particularly what happens as the age is going up for women, because you're like on a treadmill, you're chasing the chasing your state retirement age, and you never quite seem to get there. My wife is most upset because she's had yet another year added on to her statutory retirement age. She originally expected to retire at 60 and now won't retire until 66, and she's just in that band. And obviously, you know, if she was working, she would again be paying pension, be paying national insurance contributions all the way up until she reached that state pension age.
There's quite an unusual situation in which, at least unusual to me, correct me if I'm wrong, in which women are affected at certain times of the year, where men not so.
Well, yeah, it's because, as I say, you're on this treadmill as the women are trying to reach a statutory pension age that's getting further and further away, and it gets further away in jumps, sort of monthly jumps, as it were. So you go a month and then your statutory pension age, or you go 2 months and your statutory pension age has moved another further month away, so it's very much two steps forward, one step back.
Okay, right. Finally, Neil Warren, place of supply revisions and VAT changes coming after Christmas.
Yeah, January 2011, following on the ones that we had in January 2010. And he says, I think, that the next lot are not due till January 2013. What I really liked, the sentence I really liked, was he said, I'd like to tell you that nearly all sales of services by a UK supplier to an overseas business from January 2011 are not VAT-able. He says, I'd like to tell you that all are, and actually the answer is that nearly all are. Of course, being VAT, it then means that he has to take three pages explaining what the exceptions are, and he's got some very interesting ones, and particularly ones where you might not have realised that there would be a UK VAT charge, whereas mostly it's sort of an overseas charge that you would have expected now becomes a UK one. There are some unusual bits in there.
And if anybody can write about VAT with clarity and passion, it's going to be Neil, isn't it?
Well, indeed. And I think there's one Man United reference in there, but probably only one. There's an Ann Widdecombe reference, which I thought was quite good, bringing in... he had a concept of Spanish dancers coming over to get dancing lessons from Ann Widdecombe, which... it's an image which will stay in my mind, shall I say.
Lovely. I hope that's not unsettled our listeners too much, and that you will all be undiscombobulated by next week when you can download the next podcast. Thanks for listening.